Now, in studio, two local servant leaders, business owners, and family men committed to empowering San Diego to rise up. Your hosts, James Carmody.
Happy Friday, folks. I'm your host, James Carmody. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. We have another fantastic show. Thank you for being here. If you're in your car, make sure that you're buckled up. If you're at home, thanks for enjoying some time with us on a Friday night. And thank you so much for the continued love and support for the Rise Up community. You're following us at sdriseup.com. We love all the support on social media, Facebook, all of it. Week after week, we just get overwhelming responses from all of you nominating different heroes in San Diego. Who are those servant leaders that are making a difference in your life and in the community's life? And you know that, you know, we're always looking for servant leaders. You know, what is a servant leader? Servant leader is someone who serves others first. They're putting other people before themselves. And what that looks like is, you know, a small business owner, pastor of a church, your kid's little league coach, maybe their teacher, who's doing good work in the San Diego community that needs their story told or highlighted. So you can go to sdriseup.com, and down the bottom of the homepage, you can actually nominate a hero. We have a great lineup of guests. Our first guest in studio is a big supporter of Rise Up, and we're honored to have him on his first time. I feel like he's going to be a repeat guest here. But this gentleman is a serial entrepreneur who in 2011 decided to devote his time and talent to helping nonprofits and social enterprises be more effective. He's the CEO and co-founder of Mission Edge, a nonprofit that invests in innovation in the sector and has provided operations and strategy support to more than 200 San Diego organizations over the past 5 years. He's personally passionate about helping veterans transition into the civilian world, serves on the board of the Travis Mannion Foundation, which is near and dear to our heart, and is a mentor on the Honor Foundation. Ken Davenport, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, James. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, we're very excited to have Ken in here. We're going to, you know, cover Ken's backstory. We're also going to talk about Mission Edge, his relationship with Travis Mannion, who's an organization that's near and dear to Rise Up's heart. You know, and Mission Edge has just been a relationship that we have developed over the last year here at Rise Up and is kind of a new growing partnership, which we're super proud of and very excited about. Ken, you have quite the resume, you know, but you didn't just jump in here. You know, where did you get your start? You know, where are you from? Where did you go to school? What's your background?
Right. Well, I grew up in Los Angeles. I went to school at UCSD as an undergrad and grad school as well. I went to the School of Global Strategy and Policy. And so I've been a local. I started my first company right out of grad school in the early 90s in healthcare, and pretty much been doing that ever since. In 2010, I tell this story a lot to people who are trying to find their purpose in life. I woke up and had a existential crisis, realized that I'd started my fifth company. You know, we were doing fine, but I wasn't enjoying it, and realized that I really didn't like what I was doing, and so decided to quit and take a new approach to my life and try to find something of purpose that I could devote myself to. And so that's kind of how I came to the social sector.
Got it. You know, it's one thing to turn a profit and collect a paycheck. It's another thing to do that, but also with a purpose and a mission behind you. Right. Say a little bit more about that. And you don't have to share, but this existential experience.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to share it. You know, I think, you know, it kind of came to me in my late 40s, and I realized that I'd spent the first half of my life kind of acquiring things and checking boxes, and had some success, and really had been sort of serially building these organizations. And while I was employing people and I was certainly adding value to the economy, I didn't feel like I was doing something that when I was on my deathbed, I was going to look back on and feel like, hey, you know, you really left footprints on the earth that people are going to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And so it was really kind of an epiphany of saying, you know, I don't need any more money necessarily, although money is a great thing. And I'm, you know, very passionate about helping businesses succeed. But I wanted something personally that would fuel my tank and make me feel like, you know, my purpose in life had something beyond simply profit. And so I basically in 2010, I joined an organization called Social Venture Partners, which is a volunteer group in town that does philanthropy work. And it's a really business people who kind of approach the social sector with a business mindset and try to use their talent to help businesses, to help nonprofits perform more effectively. And at that time, in 2010, we were investing in the military. And that's where I found my passion, which is really to help veterans and help military members transition, help families of those who have been serving us for so long. I didn't serve in the military, but I'm very passionate about doing what I can now at this time in my life. And that's how I came to the Travis Manning Foundation. And that's how really I've been able to kind of give back and mentor transitioning veterans as they make this move from the military to the civilian world.
Thank you. You know, thank you for having that awareness, making the choice, making the pivot, you know, midlife saying, look, you know, I've checked the boxes, I've had some successes, and there's more out there.
Yeah. And well, actually, I want to thank you and for doing this. And also, you know, it's a gift for me to be able to serve those who have served us. So really, mm-hmm. the most valuable thing that I've done in my career are the last 4 or 5 years where I've helped veterans go from taking off the uniform and doing something, finding a passion in their life outside of the military where they can have a family and they can, you know, give back to the community the way they all want to.
Yeah, I mean, so Travis Manning Foundation is a great organization, and we've had those guys on several times. Uh-huh. What does your relationship and participation look like with them?
Yeah, so basically when the foundation opened their office in San Diego in 2011, I had been mentoring a Marine officer, a Naval Academy grad who went to the academy with Travis, who was doing a fellowship with the Mission Continues, and his fellowship was at the Travis Manning Foundation. So I met him and I met the director of the office here, Amy Looney, whose husband was killed in Afghanistan. It was a Navy SEAL who was killed in Afghanistan. She was running the office. And I fell in love with those two people and what they were trying to do. And I just started giving a lot of time, using my network in town to connect them with corporations and other people that could support them. And in 2012, they asked me to be on the national board. So for the last 4 years, I've been on the board. The organization is based in Pennsylvania, but they have the largest office here in San Diego because this is where the largest percentage of veterans in the country is. And so I've been basically just helping the office expand its reach here. The programming they do is very near and dear to my heart, very valuable. And yep. And so it's been a pleasure for me to be on that board. Travis himself was a Marine killed in Fallujah in 2007 and was, by all accounts, a true patriot and someone who wanted to serve the country. The motto of the foundation is, if not me, then who? And that's what he said when his brother-in-law asked him, why do you need to go back? And his answer was, if I don't go, somebody else will. And if it's not me, who else is it going to be? And it was the motto that the foundation's built around.
And it's such a beautiful motto, you know, and I never met Travis, but everything that I've heard from his dad and to, you know, his fellow patriots, he was a servant leader and he was putting others first.
Absolutely.
And, you know, service was at the forefront of that guy's heart.
Absolutely.
And that's just so great to see an organization take that on and grow and start to flourish.
Yeah.
You know, and then guys like yourself come in and partner with them and say, look, you know, I have these relationships, I have these skills and talents that I can bring and help you grow and develop.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that I'm personally passionate about is trying to break down the chasm between the military and the civilian world. You know, the military, they tend to tribe together because, you know, they want to be around people who—
Familiarity.
Familiarity. They understand what they've been through. Civilians are a key, you know, to their successful transition. And so one of the things I try to do is get veterans to talk about their experience, to get civilians to be able to hear it, and to start a conversation that's a little bit deeper than simply saying, you know, thank you for your service, which I think is the normal thing that most civilians say. Most military folks think that that's nice that they say it, but it's also a shortcut to being able to say, hey, I don't want to have a deeper conversation with you. So I think we need to do better as a civilian community of having these deeper conversations about what was your experience over in Iraq or Afghanistan or in the military, and how can we find commonalities that we can talk about that's greater than just, thank you for serving.
Absolutely. You know, folks, you've heard me say this time and time again, but as a San Diegan, one in three of us is related to or directly connected to the military. And it is our responsibility in the civilian world to reach out and foster those relationships, share our resources, and help these men and women transition, whether it be to, you know, employment with their family, whatever the service may be. You know, so we want to look at having a deeper conversation. You know, thank you for your service. That's nice. It's polite, but it's also thank you for your service. How can I serve you?
Right.
I think what can I provide you for the next chapter of your life?
Right. I think the sincerest form of thank you would be to say thank you for your service. Here's an opportunity for you to work with my company or work with me or work with organizations that I know because I know that they can benefit from your talent, your drive, and your experience.
Absolutely. And you know, and the men and women, the veterans that I see in organizations are typically the A players. You know, they're reliable, they're dependable, and they get things done.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, for me as a business owner, that's what you want. You want people you can count on.
Yep.
You know, so folks, we're going to take a short break. We've been chatting with Ken Davenport, the CEO of Mission Edge, serial entrepreneur, philanthropist, lover of transitioning veterans, board member of the Travis Mannion Foundation, an all-around great guy. Please stick around. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question, why? I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's Little League coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
1170. The Answer. KCBQ.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I am your host, James Carmody. You're following us at sdriseup.com. In studio with us is Ken Davenport, who's the CEO and co-founder of Mission Edge. Great entrepreneur, philanthropist, and just servant leader in San Diego. Gosh, there's a few things that we got to cover in this next segment. What I first want to talk about, though, is this accelerator program that you're going on. You know, Mission Edge, great organization. We've been fortunate to partner with you guys in the last year, and we thank you very much for that. Share this. What's going on with the Accelerator Impact Lab?
Right. So Mission Edge was founded in 2012. Initially, what we were doing is primarily back office support for nonprofits. So helping them with the business functions that they tend to struggle with. Most nonprofits are very programmatically focused. Mm. They're run by people who understand the programmatic side of whatever they're doing in the community. The business side tends to suffer. And so we founded Mission Edge with the idea that we could help them do the business functions more effectively. So that's been great and been very successful, but it really is only part of the challenge that nonprofits face. What we see in a lot of our clients, and I think the statistics bear this out, is that a lot of nonprofits are relatively underfunded. They don't have a lot of money in reserve, and they tend to struggle sometimes month to month with making payroll and keeping the lights on. And it's a function of the philanthropic system, which requires you to go out and get foundation grants and donations. It's a very unforgiving revenue model because it's based on a lot of luck, a lot of relationship building, and oftentimes the smaller nonprofits that are doing a lot of innovation tend to not get funded because most of the money goes to the known names of the world that have been around for 30 years or where their foundations have deep relationships. So our goal really is to be focused on helping nonprofits take control of their own destiny by finding areas where they can have earned revenue and become social enterprises. Mission Edge itself is a social enterprise, meaning that most of our revenue comes from the fees that we charge our clients. Mm-hmm. We get some philanthropic support from Qualcomm and a couple other places, but 92% of our budget last year was fee supported. And so we figure that if you can get nonprofits to at least have a portion of their budget in fees for service activities, that it will create more sustainability and more predictability in terms of their budget so they can hire more effectively and they can plan more accurately for the future. So the San Diego Accelerator and Impact Lab, we ran this last year. It's a 12-week program. We had 10 nonprofits come through, ranging from Second Chance to Elder Help to a variety of other organizations that have been around for a long time. And each of them are motivated to try to figure out ways to diversify their revenue streams. They went through a 10-week program. We helped them create a business model. We helped them figure out who a customer would be. We helped them test the ideas around social enterprise. And then they did a 3-minute pitch at Qualcomm in a final event. And Second Chance won the $10,000 award that was provided by Qualcomm. That program was underwritten by the San Diego Foundation and Union Bank and Qualcomm and Cox Communications. And it shows that we're trying to meld together the nonprofit and the corporate community as closely as possible to try to figure out ways to move the sector forward and with innovation. And we think new business models and revenue streams are innovative ways of nonprofits supporting themselves more effectively.
To me, it just seems like a no-brainer. You know, you started this point with talking about a lot of times people are just going off of donations and they do fundraisers, and a lot of it's luck. You know, a lot of it's drawing on relationships, and then there's luck and chance versus setting up that fee-for-service-based model and giving the private sector an opportunity to participate with these nonprofits and say, hey, we're out here in the community. You know, we're supporting this organization, this group. We're making a difference.
Right.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah. Well, it does. Yeah, I think for most business people, it makes a lot of sense. I think there's a cultural divide between the philanthropic sector, the nonprofit sector, and the for-profit sector that says, you know, basically, if you're in the nonprofit sector, you're in it to free your heart, and you're in it to give things away, and you're in it to do things that are charitable and philanthropic. And that if you're charging for things, you're in it to make money and in it to do things with that money that maybe will indirectly support, you know, the society, but isn't really geared fundamentally towards social impact or social change. And I think that's breaking down now with social enterprise. I think there's a generational shift going on. Most millennials that I talk to, and I do a lot of lecturing, lectured last night at USD's Social Innovation Master's course, for instance. You know, 25 young folks who are in there who want to make a difference, and very few of them are talking about starting a traditional nonprofit. They're thinking about starting a business that will have a social impact, either through directly through what the business is doing or through proceeds that they're going to utilize from that business to give back to the community and have a direct impact. So it's changing. It's a slow change. It really requires a cultural shift in a lot of these organizations. A lot of what SAIL was about was just changing the mindset about how you think about what you do for the community, and the idea that it's not bad if some people who can't afford to pay something in order to subsidize those who really can't afford to pay anything at all. And I think once we embrace that, I think it opens up many other opportunities for these organizations to grow and to have a bigger innovative impact on the community.
I love that. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think these millennials and this younger generation, they're the ones that really get it. And I think they're the ones that are going to lead the charge in changing how our typical for-profit organization, that landscape looks, because these kids are going to lead with service first.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, how do we take part of our profit and spin that off to support this organization?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the social problems that we're trying to solve are big. they've been around for generations. Mm-hmm. If you look at what happened in the aftermath of the Great Society in the 1960s, I'm not sure we've made a big impact on a lot of these problems. You talk about the war on poverty. You can talk about the challenges around healthcare with Medicare and Medicaid. You know, I think that we've done a good job in certain areas, but the fundamental model isn't really solving these problems permanently. And so I think we need new ways of thinking about it. We need innovation. The social sector needs to have the best people who are going into tech companies, who are doing innovative things in the Silicon Valley, needs those people to be focused on how do I solve the problems of society, because that's the only way we're going to actually solve them over the long run.
Couldn't agree more. Ken, let's talk about, incubator. You know, San Diego is quietly becoming like the entrepreneur capital, after I know Silicon Valley,
right,
of the U.S.
Right.
And of the world. And, you know, so share with us what you guys are doing as an incubator.
Yeah, so, I think of, we have a program that's called, technically called fiscal sponsorship. Most people don't know what that means, so I end up having to explain it. I think an incubator is probably a better term. The idea is that we take very early stage social impact organizations before they become a nonprofit and put them under our nonprofit status. So they use our 501c3 to raise funds and to operate legally as a charity. And we provide all the back office and all the support for them. And we really kind of envelope them with services and allow them to test their model to say, look, I have an idea to solve a social problem. I'm not going to go out and immediately start my own nonprofit. I'm going to go be fiscally sponsored and incubated at Mission Edge, test out whether it really works or not, test out whether there's any appetite for the service, whether anybody's willing to fund it. And then when I validate all that, I can say, okay, now it's time to file my paperwork and become my own nonprofit organization. And so one of the things, you know, there are more than 10,000 nonprofits in San Diego. 95% of them have budgets of less than $50,000 a year and are really very small entities. We would like to prevent more nonprofits from forming that really aren't proven to be what the community needs. And I think we work with we have a lot of inbound calls about, hey, I want to start a nonprofit. And we say, well, what do you want to do? Say, well, I want to solve hunger and I'm going to start another food bank or whatever. And, you know, it's like, okay, there are three in San Diego already. Why don't you call them and partner with them as opposed to taking more oxygen out of the ecosystem and starting yet another organization that's solving the same problem that everybody else is trying to solve. So it's another way for us to kind of try to create some efficiency in the system.
Yeah.
And I think it's a underutilized resource because most people don't know it exists. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about.
Absolutely. So folks, Mission Edge.
Fiscal sponsorship, incubation, exactly.
Talk to us a little bit about your partnership with Qualcomm.
Yeah, so Qualcomm has been a phenomenally powerful partner for us, and the one of the large organizations in town that really devotes a lot of time and attention to the social sector. We've been able to partner with them to link their employees into the sector. So we do a skilled volunteer program. We provide some board service matching for Qualcomm employees that want to serve on a board. They have a new ambassador program where they're trying to get Qualcomm folks out in the community talking about Qualcomm and about the impact of technology on society. They are very focused on STEM. They have a Think A Bit lab that brings young kids in to learn about technology. We're helping them manage that program. So we're really become kind of Qualcomm's sort of social boots on the ground, if you will, and helping connect their employees with the social sector. And so they've been a big supporter for 3 years, and we're looking forward to a deeper relationship with them in the future.
It's fantastic. And I know Mission Edge, you know, you have a great partnership with them, and it's just a testament to who you are as a leader and where your organization is developing. I also know that you have written a book.
I have.
Tell our listeners a little bit about this book and where can we get The Two Gates?
Yeah, it's called The Two Gates. It's an alternative history thriller. I in my previous career, I taught political science for a while, and I taught a course on the Vietnam War, and I was always fascinated with the idea, with the question actually, of what would have happened had John F. Kennedy not been killed in Dallas, and how would the war have expanded or not after that event. And so this book is a It's a novel, and it's basically examines the Vietnam War from the perspective of a couple of fictional characters in and around the Kennedy White House. And if you're interested in Kennedy history and politics of the early 1960s, I think there's a lot of great stuff in there. And it's a thriller that takes you from Vietnam to Washington to Chicago and the Chicago mob and all sorts of good stuff in there.
Folks, so go on Amazon, stop what you're doing right now, grab your phone, go on Amazon and buy the book, The Two Gates by Ken Davenport. Ken, last parting words for our listeners.
I just think that, you know, there's a real opportunity for folks like myself mid-career to serve the community. And whether you join Social Venture Partners or whether you simply go and volunteer, you know, give of your time and your expertise. The sector needs business folks to provide their expertise to help these organizations become more effective. And everyone has a role to play. And, you know, just don't think about it. For the new year, New Year's resolution time, get out and volunteer and use your skills.
Thank you so much, Ken. It was a pleasure having you on. Thank you for supporting Rise Up. Folks, we're going to take a short break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
AM 1170, The Answer. KCBQ.
Jared Kelly here, co-host of Rise Up Radio and the Rise Up Movement. We are having an amazing journey and just trying to hold on to this movement, but we need you to be a part of this. If you would like to sponsor what's happening on air and in the community with the Rise Up Movement, visit us at sdriseup.com. Let's rise up together and understand it is our job to maintain America's finest city. Visit us at sdriseup.com. That's sdriseup.com. Jared Kelly here, founder of Mission Realty Group. As you have heard me say thousands of times, we must be part of the community that we live in. I've had the privilege of using our company to do just that. It is our goal to not only help people make informed and excellent decisions when buying and selling a home, but to really understand your goals and needs. Yes, for some people, their house is just a roof to live under. But for others, it is a home where you are raising a family, entertaining friends, and a place to get away from the hustle of life. Let me ask you this. Is your home right for your family? When is the last time you even thought about this? Let us use our exclusive process to help you understand where the market is going. And if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, let's have a conversation today. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and we would love to connect with you and make a plan. Again, that's missionrealtygroup.com. That's missionrealtygroup.com. Hit the contact tab and let's make a plan so you can win.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Thank you so much for following us at sdriseup.com. We love our Rise Up community, all the love and support. We've had an amazing show. We have another fantastic guest in studio for you folks. We have Ms. Angel Mason Broaddus. And Angel is the president and founder of Puzzle Pieces Marketing, which is an independent marketing consultant with over 17 years of experience in strategic marketing. Her community involvement for Angel has been a way of life. Philanthropy is giving back is very important to her. Angel remains very active in her community through volunteer work as the chair of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater San Diego Marketing Committee, member of the board of directors of North County Philanthropy Council, steering committee member for the United Way of San Diego Women's Leadership Council, and senior mentor for the Central San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce Knowledge Exchange Mentoring Program. That is a mouthful. Angel also previously served as a member of the board of directors for the San Marcos Chamber of Commerce, ambassador for youth at the Boys and Girls Club of San Marcos. Angel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are a servant leader. I'm looking at this resume and I'm like, my gosh, could you be more giving of your heart and your time and your talents?
Well, you know, I never really considered myself a servant leader. I was raised and my parents always told me you don't live on this earth for free. You have to pay your dues.
That's right.
And giving back is the way that you earn your right to be here. So that's just, I've listened to my parents and that's
your
what
parents
I'm doing.
Sound like smart people.
They cracked the whip, yeah. So they were smart people, and they made sure that I listened.
Made sure you turned out okay. So let's, you know, before we dive into everything you're doing, let's back up a little bit. You know, Where are you from? Where did you go to school? What's your backstory?
Oh, my backstory. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, but my parents raised me here in San Diego County, so I'm basically a native. I was here from the time I was 3 years old.
Either your parents in the Navy or military, or?
Yes, my dad was a Marine. Yeah,
okay.
For years he's a
great
Marine. And so that's what brought them to San Diego County, and I was raised here, grew up, went to Vista High School for a year, and then went to Rancho Buena Vista. Ended up doing most of my undergrad at UC Irvine, where I ran track there.
Okay.
And then from there, went to pharmacy school. And most people don't know, they wonder, how did you get into marketing with a healthcare background? And it was completely by accident. When I was leaving the hospital, I decided that I wanted to start teaching. So I was teaching at a vocational school called United Education Institute. And I had forgotten to take my resume offline when I found my position. And long story short, when I had one line in my resume that talked about this white paper that I had co-authored with a physician and two nurses looking at medication automation and how we might integrate medication automation into our institution. And a company called Cardinal Health called me for an interview to come in to interview for a product manager position that they had. I had no marketing experience, had no idea even what marketing was, but they called me in because they knew that I understood the market. I understood their products and their competitors because of what I had put in that white paper. And they brought me in for an interview, and I got the position.
Wow.
That was the look on my face too when I got the position, because I had no clue what I was doing, and I got some really great mentors and learned marketing on the job by breathing through a fire hose, basically.
Right. Well, it sounds like you were prepared. You had the skill set. You just weren't aware that you had the skill set.
Yeah.
And the opportunity came a knocking and you walked right through that door.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And so, okay, so then what happened after that?
Well, I stayed there as a senior product manager for their flagship product for about 5 years, and then went into another marketing position at another medical device company where I got to have more international marketing experience. I then went to another medical device company called ResMed, where I was a diagnostics market manager. And that position was very different. I had the opportunity to work with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the American Medical Association to create a market for our diagnostic product. It was basically a screening product, and we wanted to start looking at becoming a home diagnostics company. And so in that position, it allowed me to expand and broaden my marketing experience. And I always joke and I say I had the fortunate opportunity of being laid off, because were it not for that opportunity, I don't think that I would have been brave enough to start my own marketing company. During that time of being laid off, I decided I wanted to take a little bit of time to figure out where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do with myself when I grew up, and started spending time with friends of mine that owned businesses. And I started asking them how they were marketing their business and what they were doing, and, you know, started giving them some suggestions and recommendations. And at the end of it, they'd say, well, what do I owe you for this? And I thought, well, I was just doing it because you're my friend, and I thought I'd help you out. And then I realized maybe there's somebody out there that would pay me for this service and to help them create marketing campaigns. And I gave myself 6 months. And in that time, I got my first contract with a small division of Johnson & Johnson. And the rest was history. So 8 years later, here I am sitting in front of you guys.
Wow. All right. So a couple ideas. Friends are like, all right, you're helping me out. Introduce JA, a global monster organization. And here we are.
And here I am.
Wow. What's the background for the name? I love the name, Puzzle Pieces Marketing.
It didn't start out as interesting. It started out as Mason Consulting. And,
okay.
And bringing on these new clients, I realized that at first I thought I needed to do everything for them, because that was my experience as a product manager, that I had to take it from start to finish.
Right.
And then I realized that not everybody needed everything. Then everybody needed my whole suite of product offerings. So I realized that I could still provide a service without giving them everything and just providing them little pieces of the puzzle. And so that's how I got the name. It was Puzzle Pieces Marketing, because I realized I didn't have to be everything to everybody, but I could still provide a service by providing little pieces of the marketing puzzle.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Obviously, you have Johnson & Johnson. Who are some of your other clients?
We do a lot of work with nonprofit organizations in San Diego County. So we have North County Philanthropy Council is one of our clients. Resounding Joy, they provide music therapy, is one of our clients. Central San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce is another one of our clients. Vista Chamber of Commerce. So we do a lot of work with membership organizations and nonprofits. We also do some work with small businesses. So We have clients like Corky's Pest Control is one of our clients. We did some social media marketing and search engine optimization for them. North County Health Services, we established their online presence, doing some search engine optimization for them as well. So, but majority of our clients are in the small businesses and nonprofit arena.
Great. And what, you know, what does the suite of services look like? You mentioned kind of a wide spectrum of clients there.
Well, we provide services in the areas of strategic planning, online marketing, and creative design, and that's kind of how they're broken out. So strategic planning, we can create an entire marketing campaign, create their entire marketing strategy, public relations strategy, event planning. Online marketing, we do website design, website development, search engine optimization, social media marketing. And then with creative design, we have an amazing and phenomenal creative director, and she and graphic designer. And so they do all the graphic design work, logo design, brochures, just really helping to create a cohesive brand identity.
Love that. Love that. Okay. Boys and Girls Club, fantastic organization.
Yes, they are.
How did you get involved with them?
I was an ambassador for youth for the Boys and Girls Club up in San Marcos, and they resonated with me because as a single parent, I had to find a place that would be able to take care of my daughter when she was out of school. And so that's how I actually initially got in contact with the organization was when my daughter was smaller. She was a member of the club.
Okay.
And so then when I started my own business and I was looking at ways to give back into the community and to get involved, Boys and Girls Club was obviously one of my first choices because of the help that they had provided to me. And so I started up in San Marcos as an ambassador for youth, and I was also the chair of their annual auction. I served on that committee as well. But then when I moved the business down here to San Diego, it was difficult for me to still maintain that same level of commitment and be able to spend as much time with the club as I wanted to. So I started being more involved with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater San Diego. And so I am now the chair of their marketing committee, and that's how I got involved with that organization.
Love it. Love it. What other organizations are you involved with?
Oh, goodness. So Boys and Girls Club, of course, and we have actually an upcoming event for them, which I can talk to you about a little bit later. But then we also have Central San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce is another organization. Okay. I have now been since named as one of their senior mentors for their new knowledge exchange program, and I'm really excited about that.
Knowledge exchange
yes.
program. Sounds fantastic.
It is. It's it really it truly is a knowledge exchange. It's different than a traditional mentoring program because it's a way, it's an opportunity for us to encourage intergenerational relationships and so for us to learn from each other. So I'm the senior mentor, but I have a phenomenal junior mentor, and we are learning from each other and being able to bridge those generational gaps. At the same time, we're helping to support and promote entrepreneurial spirit in the African-American community in San Diego.
Excellent.
So that's another organization. And then the Women's Leadership Council for United Way is one that's also very close to me. I sit on their steering committee, so I've been involved with that organization for a little over 2 years. And that was one that really resonated with me because being involved in nonprofits, you get to see the impact that they make in the community. But what was different about the United Way was that being involved are the contributions that we make. So each member of the WLC donates a minimum of $1,000 a year. But we get to decide how those funds are being spent. So every year we have our community impact meeting. So we get to decide and vote on the initiatives that we want to fund for that year. And then 100% of the money that we raise as a WLC gets to, goes to funding those programs. So it was very different than most nonprofits that I had been involved in because I got to firsthand be able to see how those funds are going to be spent and then be able to volunteer in those programs that we were funding. So it was, I got to see it from the beginning and then got to be hands-on involved in those programs as well.
You have your hands in a lot of cookie jars, young lady.
I do. I love cookies.
Me too. You know, what are the ones that you see are making a real special impact in the community?
Gosh, there's so many, but you know, we actually just launched this referral program. We called it the Misfit In campaign in partnership with the San Diego Humane Society. And we chose that organization, one, because I have two rescues at home. My wife and I, we have our 2-pound Chihuahua, Teeny, and then our 6-pound Yorkie, Zoe.
Named.
Yes, Zoe. So there are two rescues. And the San Diego Humane Society every year there's about 45,000 animals that come through the San Diego shelter system. And the San Diego Humane Society is responsible for 40% of those animals, in addition to 10,000 wild animals every year. So
that occurs like a lot.
Yes.
Like, I have no frame of reference, but I mean, that's almost 50,000 animals.
It's crazy. And then when you consider the hurricanes this year and then the animals that they rescued from the dog meat trade, of course, we knew that there was going to be an even more need to help this organization this year. So we launched our Misfit In campaign, and it started out as a referral program where our clients could decide to donate 10% of the value of the service that we provide to them back to the Humane Society. So that was a financial contribution that we were making to the San Diego Humane Society. But if you also look at our social media, you can also see some of the animals that they have that are up for adoption that are looking for their forever homes. And we are sharing that content as well and hoping to drive traffic back to the San Diego Humane Society's website and really just increase the exposure and giving them the opportunity to share with our community some of those animals that are still looking for homes. So that was just kind of our way of being involved and trying to help support the work that they do.
And you have two of these dogs yourself.
I do, and if I could, I would have more of them, but unfortunately, I have a limit.
The wife won't let you bring home another three or four dogs.
She probably would, but those two that we have at home won't let us bring home anymore.
Yes, I can relate. I have a 100-pound yellow lab at home, Ralphie, who's actually more like a velociraptor at times than he is a 2-year-old yellow lab.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dogs, you know, they touch our heart.
They do.
They touch our heart. So one of the other things I want to also cover is mentorship. And I know that you're a senior mentor. What does mentorship look like to you across these different organizations?
Well, I can tell you from my firsthand experience, especially starting in marketing and not having any kind of marketing experience. So from the mentee, it was a way for me to be able to be very open and frank about what I didn't know. Mm. And without having that support, I think I know that I would not have been successful as I was in those positions. And so from that junior from the mentee or the junior mentor position, it is a way for you to be very frank and very honest and very raw and vulnerable and letting people know that I don't know everything and I do need some help and some support. And on the other end, I think it gives me as a mentor now at this stage in my professional career to be able to say, I don't know everything either. And if it's something that you don't know, let's learn together. And that's something that we try to do even internally within our organization because we have an internship program. So we bring in interns from different organizations or different institutions in San Diego, and we have an internship program. But to answer your question, what does mentorship mean to me? And it's a way for us to learn from each other and to be able to grow and foster professional development and be able to really support growth within our community as well.
Absolutely. And I think the mentor-mentee relationship is so important. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to unpack this a little bit when we get into the next segment.
Okay.
Folks, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at sturiseup.com. Stick around. We'll be back in a few.
AM 1170. The Answer. KCVQ.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Jared Kelly here. Here's the deal. San Diego's expensive. San Diego's a tough place to own and buy a house, but I want to tell you something special about San Diego. The housing market has appreciated consistently over the years, and if you're not a part of that, I want you to ask the question why. I would love to sit down and understand that process with you and help you make a plan so that your family fits your home and you're not strapped by the things that you think are constraining you in San Diego. Visit missionrealtygroup.com, hit the contact tab, and let's have a conversation today.
Hey folks, James Carmody and Jared Kelly, the hosts of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Folks, thank you so much for all the support. You're following us at sdriseup.com. And as you know, we're looking to highlight San Diego servant leaders. Who are those people in your life, your family's life, your community that are making a difference? Whether it's the small business owner, the pastor of your church, the military officer you know, your kid's little league coach or school teacher, we're looking to share those stories. So please go to sdriseup.com, go to the bottom of that homepage, click on there and nominate that servant leader and that hero so we can share their story. Folks, with us in studio is Angel Mason Broaddus. And Angel is a fantastic servant leader. She's involved in a ton of nonprofits. She has a excellent marketing company that we've been learning about, Puzzle Pieces Marketing, and they specialize in serving nonprofits. And she has some, you know, very large clients as well, but she's really putting service first, which is why she is on the show. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me again.
Absolutely. So I heard you did a little speaking at Point Loma Nazarene University.
I did, yeah. Well, it started about 2 years ago, and I actually was invited to participate in a panel discussion.
Okay.
And it was so interesting because when we started, every member of the panel, actually, they went down and they had us all do our introduction and talk about how we got our start in marketing. And I realized that I was like that, I think it's Sesame Street skit, that one of these kids is doing his own thing. I'm probably dating myself by even knowing that song, and I probably shouldn't sing.
Yeah, me too. It's okay.
But you know the one where I did not fit in. I was very different than everybody else.
Yep.
And not only with my background of how I got into marketing, but when you looked at the panel, just how everybody, the appearance, I am...
Demographics.
Yeah, the demographics. So when you consider marketing professionals, 85% of them are male, and... Or I'm sorry, about 45% are female and about 85% are white. So in amongst my colleagues, I don't fit in. And that's another reason why we had this misfit in campaign, because that's our organization. We don't fit in. But that particular event really resonated with me because fast forward a year later, I was at Point Loma Nazarene University again and was at another marketing conference. And there was a young African-American woman that kept going back and forth past my booth. And at the end of that, she actually came by and introduced herself. And she says, I don't know if you remember me. And I said, you know, your face looks familiar. And I didn't know if it was because she looked so much like me, she could have been my daughter, or if it's because we had met before. And she said, well, I met you at this panel discussion last year. And I just wanted to come by and tell you that because seeing you there, I started my own marketing company. Mm-hmm. And it's really small, but you know, and I only have a couple of clients, but I just wanted to let you know that when I walked into that room and I saw you standing there and with those other panelists, I realized if she can do it, I can do it. And at that moment, I realized that my little brown face inspired another little brown face. And I don't know how many stories there are like that, stories that of people that I inspired, but I realized in that very moment that she was an inspiration to me because there was no way at that age I would have been brave enough to start my own marketing company. So it was just an amazing experience for me.
It's just inspirational.
Yeah, it really was.
And, you know, I love you for doing that because here's the thing. We were all that kid once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, what do we do when that opportunity presents itself? Do we listen to the little voice in our head that says, I can't, I won't, I'm scared? Or do we say, okay, I can't, I won't, I'm scared. I'm doing it anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
And good for you, you know, have you kept up with that young lady? Any idea what her company is like now?
Yeah, I actually have. I haven't had the opportunity to meet with her firsthand and sit down with her,
right.
But we do connect with each other every once in a while. And I follow her on social media, of course, to see what's going on. So I get to see a little bit of a glimpse as to what she's doing. And it's just, like I said, she's an inspiration to me because I would not have been as brave as she is right now to do something like that at that age.
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, you're clearly an example of what it means to be a servant leader. You're clearly an example of a mentor. You know, let's go back to mentoring a little bit because I know that you have people that you mentor and people that mentor you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you think mentorship is important and what do you see the opportunity, isn't it?
Well, I think it's important. Let me back up for a second and just talk about this opportunity that I was given recently. That was just, I'm so proud of it. The Central San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce just launched this new program. They launched it in October, October 13th, and it's called the Knowledge Exchange Mentoring Program. And it was a way to encourage intergenerational relationships in the African American community and to really promote African-American entrepreneurial spirit. And going back to what I had said when that experience had happened to me at Point Loma Nazarene, that has been the experience of my life. Everywhere I go, I don't fit in. I always look different. There's not ever anybody usually that looks like me. And so this particular mentorship program was important to me because it was within our own community. And it's a conversation that I hear so often from up-and-coming young Black professionals that they don't see African Americans in leadership positions, especially in San Diego County. And because of that, so many of them are leaving San Diego. They graduate from SDSU and then they're leaving San Diego to have what they would consider opportunities in other areas because they just don't see the opportunities for us here. And it was a way for us to really show that we are here. We're here to support you. Reach out to us and let us know what is it that we can do to help support you in your career development. It was important to me because it wasn't just about me giving back, but it's a way for us to learn from each other. So for me to be able to learn from the next generation things that, you know, what are they doing? What are they seeing? Because I knew that that was my experience, but without hearing it from them, I didn't recognize that this was still a recurring experience within our community. So it was really important to me for me to hear these stories and to be able to make an impact and be able to change that.
And to hear, you know, the examples. You know, like we just talked about, it's like you see yourself in another person. You see, I can do that too.
Yeah, of course. And then, you know, and it's something that has been important to me too. So even within our own organization, we have an internship program at Puzzle Pieces Marketing where we have students that have come from San Diego State, Point Loma Nazarene, Gonzaga, SDSU, Penn State. And it's an opportunity for these young marketing professionals of all diverse backgrounds to be able to come in and see what it's like to work and have real life experience working with a marketing organization. And like I said, my background is in healthcare. If I had had a opportunity to do this earlier on, maybe I would still be here, but I would have known that this is a much better fit for my personality than what I was doing previously. And so it would have given me a chance to be further along, I think, in my career than I am now. So we're trying to give these young marketing professionals that opportunity to see there's so many avenues that they can take and what's the best direction for them to go.
Couple of quick pieces of advice. If, you know, we're speaking to our listeners here and you're a young person, maybe you're still in school working on your undergrad, or maybe you're an older adult and you have some time in your calendar and you'd like to give back. What recommendations would you say? How do people start that process to actually mentor someone or become a mentee?
Well, there's a lot of opportunity out there. Well, first and foremost, they can contact me. I'm willing to help. Jennifer can tell you that I'm constantly giving out my business cards. I'm always inviting someone.
How do we
to
get in touch
someplace.
With you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can go to our website, puzzlepiecesmarketing.com, where we encourage people to follow us on all of our social media. You can find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. But reach out to us and I can make some connections, point them in the right direction, whether they're from nonprofits, if they're straight right out of school. You know, it's really important to me, again, to make those connections and to make sure that people are. I truly believe in it takes a village, and not just to raise a child, but also to support our community. So if I can make those connections, I'm always willing and happy to do so.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So, folks, you're going to want to save this on your phone. PuzzlePiecesMarketing.com, PuzzlePiecesMarketing.com. Go on there, get some information, connect with Angel. We definitely don't want to forget. Let's come back a little bit. Boys and Girls Club.
Yes.
All right. I know we're coming into the holidays. We're coming into Christmas. What is going on?
Every year, my wife and I, we adopt a family from the Boys and Girls Club, and it's a way for us to buy toys and gifts and household items that they've added to their list for the holiday season. Well, this year we learned about the opportunity to be even more involved. And so we've partnered with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater San Diego, and we're collecting toys at 20 of their locations throughout San Diego County. The Boys and Girls Club of Greater San Diego serves 24,000 kids in San Diego County each year.
Wow.
it's quite a big endeavor. And so what we are doing is we are hoping to collect 1,500 toys by December 8th so that we can make sure that every child at every one of those locations gets a toy for the holiday season. I mean, it's a big ask, but we know that there are so many people out there, organizations, individuals that want to get involved in their community, and this is a perfect opportunity for them to do so. So
how do we support you in doing that?
They just need to go to the Boys and Girls Club website. It's sdyouth.org and click on the Find a Location link, and they can take and drop off the toys at any one of their 20 locations.
Fantastic. So, folks, you're going to go to sdyouth.org, get involved. Angel, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Folks, you have been listening to Rise Up Radio. You're following us at sdriseup.com. We had two amazing leaders. We had Ken Davenport with Mission Edge with us today, Angel Mason Brodus with Puzzle Pieces Marketing. You're going to want to check out both of their websites. Get involved, and remember to rise up.